Must be like old home week or something. We had Wayne Blakely. It's been a long time since he's been on. And now Elena George, two of my absolute favorites. I love Atlanta. She's a homegirl of mine from Atlanta, Georgia, which I just love. Or she lives there now. I don't think she's from there originally. She is a very well-known, very awarded physician, doctor, independent. And she's written a book called Big Medicine, very important book, and we're going to get into that a little bit. You know, we're seeing that being played out, Big Medicine, right before our eyes. Her website, Dr. Elena George, Dr. Elena, E-L-A-I-N-A, George, DrElenaGeorge.com. There you can find out about her radio show. You can also buy the book and find out more about her. It's a pleasure to have her on. As always, Dr. George, thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to be back with you. I missed you, actually.
Yes, that's how I feel. I mean, I keep saying I'm going to go to Atlanta with you and we're going to watch a Braves game. I really mean that, but it's hard to get away sometimes.
Well, you know, I think every day we turn on the TV or read a newspaper, we still do that. It's rip-roaring right now. You just can't seem to keep up with all the changes that are going on. So it's a pleasure to come back on to let you guys know where, you know, my perspective, because I've been living this now since the last time I saw you.
Well, let's we're going to get onto this. I want to start with a news story that we led the show with today. And I think this is a major story. One, just because OxyContin makers are losing lawsuits. That's interesting in and of itself. Oklahoma did a big settlement with Johnson & Johnson. Now a story, OxyContin maker negotiating settlement worth a reported $12 billion, which all sounds very good. Let me get into the story further. Purdue Pharma and the thousands of state and local governments are suing the maker of OxyContin over the nation's opioid crisis. We know that. There's a settlement underway. Here's the proposal. Under this proposal, now on the table, the Sacklers, which is the family who owns Purdue Pharma, they would contribute $3 billion of their own money towards the total, and then the company would file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They would transform the corporation, Purdue Pharma, transform it into a, quote, public beneficiary trust, with all profits from drug sales now going to the plaintiffs. And the plaintiffs in this case are, among others, state and local governments. Basically, the state is now going to have a financial interest in you buying drugs.
I think it's a conflict of interest, actually. I understand that it sounds good on the surface, but I just gives me a little bit of a chill to think that the government or the local governments will make money based on someone else's pain. I just don't think it's a good idea, frankly. You know, we really need to start talking about why people are getting prescribed so much of this stuff, and does it really work, and are there alternatives? We need to start thinking outside the box.
Quickly, let's go back to this story. Is this a backdoor to governments basically taking over medicine? I mean, is this going to continue to a point where basically the state is all a public beneficiary trust with these medical companies, with these big pharma organizations?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but if you look at the medical marijuana side of it, where governments are actually making money on the taxation of it, again, it's the government benefiting from behaviors of the population
and damaging behaviors.
It shouldn't be in the business of doing. Yeah, it shouldn't be in the business of doing that. So, I think it's a conflict of interest, and maybe we ought to look at the root cause of why people are put on these medicines, and do they really need to be on them? No one's talking about that, and that needs to be addressed.
Where do you stand on medical marijuana making, or just marijuana in general? I mean, hemp is different from marijuana. Those are two different things.
It is.
But marijuana, making it legal, illegal, decriminalized, what's your feelings on that?
I think it should stay as a medical treatment option, not as recreational. You know, I think doctors and patients should have a choice on it.
Now, you, obviously a doctor, may not, I don't even know if you consider these things, but you're a very sharp woman, so you probably do consider these things, the tyranny aspects. I get sick of hearing stories about some over-anxious police department, 3 o'clock in the morning, with an MRAP and armed soldiers basically coming down on some household because they may have a marijuana plant in their basement. I get tired of that. So I don't like that. I don't like the criminalization of it. I'm for the decriminalization of it. I'm not necessarily for a marijuana outlet on every street corner like a 7-Eleven.
No, I agree with you on that. I think we need to spend our resources on people committing crimes that, you know, affect people. But, you know, I'm not a legislator. I'm just a physician. And I think that these are drugs, basically, and they are medicinal. They help people. Whether you have cancer, whether you have a chronic pain syndrome, they do help people. And I think they should have, people should have access to them. But also I think it should be in a therapeutic environment, not just smoking it because actually you're under the influence. So people who are driving around smoking pot actually can have effect. Car accidents, the reaction time is off. It's not like a benign thing any more than drinking alcohol is a benign thing.
One of growing up in the South or whatever, you meet a lot of old timers and old people. I say that lovingly. Believe me, I do. Older people. I can remember talking to one man. He talked about prohibition of alcohol, and he put this in terms of marijuana, and says, mm-hmm. he said, I never saw so many drunks as when they made beer legal again. So basically, this idea that it doesn't increase use, it doesn't hurt the society, he said that's BS. Before, when there was prohibition, I didn't see any drunks around or people on the on the trains. And after they made it legal again, I saw drunks everywhere and winos. That was just his thought. I don't know why I am belaboring this point. It's kind of interesting, this discussion. I just think it's going to make a bunch of drug addicts all over the place.
You know, they're going to do it anyway, right? So, I mean, that argument doesn't really hold when you think about all of the criminals who actually made money during prohibition. So, I mean, there's somebody who's going to benefit from it. The question is, can you allow people who need it to get it, and you can do it in a therapeutic manner? And, you know, maybe it shouldn't be a felony for someone to have, you know, one pot, you know, or whatever, cigarette or pot, whatever. But if we have to have, we need to have a good conversation about this. And it shouldn't just be about taxation. That seems to be the major thing that's driving these things. It's about getting money by any means. And that, to me, is not the place you want to start. Let's start with helping people first, not the government.
Well, let's transition away from that point to a bigger point, which you've brought up twice now, and I've failed to follow up with you, is why are so many people in pain, or why are so many people being prescribed not only marijuana, but OxyContin? Okay, let's go there.
I mean, that's a really good question. Well, look, drug companies are very good at marketing to patients, to physicians, and I think we're in a position as a society where we think if there's a pill, then it's a good thing. And if a pill will fix it, and there's no hard work that needs to be done. There's no other way except a pharmaceutical agent. And that's what we need to, again, change our mindset on that. I think we've had this conversation before, Daniel. I believe the body's self-healing if you get out of the way and help it. And if we would start taking a really critical look at what we put in our bodies and what we are prescribed, do we really need them? Clean out your medicine closet. Try talking to your physician to find out, do you really need to be on all these meds, and what do they really do, and what are the side effects? Patients are driving the system, and they need to take responsibility now. You need to find doctors. I'm sorry, I'm on a soapbox for 2 seconds. But you need to find a doctor who is your advocate. Stop going to these big box, huge facilities where you're a conveyor belt type of medicine that's being practiced. Stop settling for 7 minutes with your doctor or not, maybe you don't even get a doctor, and start finding independent doctors who are really interested in healing, not just drug pushing. So the patients need to take the first step, and I'm telling you, the system will follow.
Ooh, that's a very provocative last statement you made. I am very honored to be involved with you, to have you on this broadcast. Joyce was also. Our audience thinks the world of you. And so don't take this question as a slight on you as a physician, because we know and we believe in you and your really courage in the face of a system that maybe doesn't want to always look out for our best interest. But you asked the question, And it's almost, it's chilling that you as a prominent physician, an award-winning, a, you know, very highly decorated physician are asking this question. You need, as the consumer, as the customer, as the patient, you need to find a physician that is your advocate. You're insinuating that they aren't all that way and that the system maybe is not your advocate. That, I mean, that's a little chilling, isn't it, Dr. George?
It's a little chilling. It's maybe sound, it may sound provocative, but unfortunately, that is the state of healthcare. And it started sliding down this path 10 years ago at the beginning of the Affordable Care Act. That was the door that opened to the algorithm-driven medicine. We've had this conversation before. As a physician, and I would say to my colleagues, it's not like we want to do this. We don't. Those of us who are employed by hospitals, who don't have their own independent practice, have to do this. You can't close an electronic medical record chart unless you ask the questions of whether you've hurt yourself, or you wanted to hurt yourself, or you have a gun in your home, all that stuff. You have to ask it, whether you think your child's a boy or a girl, gender, cis and trans, all other stuff. This is the stuff that the society, the medical system is asking us. We're data gathering now. You have 7
okay,
minutes
whoa,
literally to spend
whoa,
with your
whoa,
patient.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Now I knew about the, you know, what's your social security number? Do you have guns in the house? I've seen that when I went to a chiropractor one time. I told them it's none of their damn business, but whatever. I didn't go there anymore. But that's another question. But, you said, well, do you believe, what gender do you believe your children are? Go over that again.
Oh, yeah. If you're a pediatrician specifically, because these guys have to, they're in the front line basically. They have to ask the parent if their child thinks he's a boy or a girl.
And go ahead.
I understand. I'm a scientist. I'm a biologist. I'm a biology major. So sex is determined by genetics, in my opinion, not social norms. So you can have your child can want to play with dolls. It's fine. But now you have a whole system being driven to try to tease that out, make the parent put the parent on the defense, and maybe start the process of transitioning their child. This is a system that's bigger than us. Nobody really gets this. They don't, unless you're in it, you don't see how this is unfolding. But there's a lot of punitive things that happen in the healthcare system. If you don't want to give your child a vaccine, for example, you may be called up, or you might get a visit from DFACS, and you know, the children's services. All these things are going down. The schools are driving things. You know, whether your child should be on ADHD medication. That's not new. That's been going on for quite a while. So we're seeing a social encroachment into the healthcare system. And doctors and nurses and people who really care about healthcare and patient care are being either forced out, they're leaving on their own, or they have to just go along and get along. And I would say it's one of the major reasons that doctors are the number one profession that commits suicide. I just found out it's a doctor a day at this point that commits suicide. It is not by accident, okay?
All right, let me ask you two. Go ahead.
Go.
I thought you were finished there. Go ahead.
That's quite all right. I'm just saying we just need to be aware of this so that we can change the energy on this. And then it's not doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Okay. Two questions I have listening to you so far, the first 15 minutes or so. I mean, this is fantastic. I love Elena George, ladies and gentlemen. Elena, you know I love you. Your information and how cutting you are right to the point. I'm going to ask you a couple of to the point questions. Do you, as a independent practitioner, do you feel pressure from drug companies? Do you feel, you know, they come in and say, here, Elena, why don't you push this drug? Or do you feel that?
No. In a nutshell, I don't play that game. So if somebody comes into my office with a new medication, they need to prove to me that it's worth me even thinking about prescribing it to my patients. And again, we've been slandered by the media and by people who don't know what's going on. Doctors do not get paid for prescribing medication, period. The only people that might are academics who are doing studies, et cetera. But it's not the average doctor or people who speak for the drug companies. It's not the doctor prescribing the medication. It's not. But a again, marketing has a role to play. And if you don't have time, sometimes you'll think without really doing a lot of due diligence that maybe this is better than what I'm prescribing. I'm giving samples. Let me let my patient try it. But they're not getting paid for that. But
what about vaccines? Are there? We've heard some doctors talk about, you know, if you have certain vaccine percentages, you're getting not buybacks. What you get a whatever you get payments from different vaccines if you meet certain requirements.
That I can't answer because I don't do vaccines in my office, you know. But so I can't answer that with any authority because
okay.
I don't do it.
Okay, we have had doctors and other people on talk about that. That's a huge incentive, especially for a pediatrician. That may be the difference whether they can stay in business or not is how many vaccines they push. And that's one of the reasons they are refusing patients who are refusing vaccines because they don't want them in their practice because it lowers their algorithm score.
Well, I have to say this is the problem with algorithms. I read an article from one of my journals the other day that talked about doctors who didn't want to prescribe medication in a patient in the ICU because it would make their numbers look bad, an antibiotic. I mean, come on. If you give a patient an antibiotic post-op, that dings you because you had a post-op infection. But in actuality, when someone has a raised temperature, and you do a culture, you would start in the old days. You would start an antibiotic until that culture came back so you can get a jump on the infection. This is where algorithms are the problem. It's not physicians driving it. It's actuarials driving it. So they're saying, hey, you're writing a prescription for an antibiotic. You may not need it. It's costing the hospital money. Don't do it. And the patient is in the ICU longer, having a complication didn't have to have. This is the real world result of algorithms. They don't work for individuals. And that's what makes medicine kind of scary now.
So the AI written by the insurance companies, I take it, by the HMOs, who's writing these algorithms?
That's a really good question. I think part of it is hospital-based. You know, the executive committees, they have their various committees that figure out for each department what's the standard of care. And it's about the bottom line, you know, honestly. I'm not a big fan of it. I've never been a big fan of it because I think it costs patients more money. It takes longer to treat them. It certainly takes longer to get seen by a physician in the systems because there's so many people. But if you think about how the system is working, Daniel, it's about single payer, one size fits all, winners and losers, and the bigger the system, you got to go there. They don't want competition. They don't thrive with competition because when they have it and people realize I can get a CT for $250, why am I paying $2,000? They're going to lose business. So it's just like, you know, Facebook and the rest of these players who want to get rid of a dissenting voice so people can actually make a conscious decision. Unfortunately, with healthcare, we're talking life and death. It's not just freedom of speech, but it's the same principle. It's like a template used in every single part of our society. Someone has to get up and say, I'm not doing it. And patients can do this now.
Okay. Now, of course, everybody was up in arms about Obamacare, ACA, Affordable Care, whatever it's called. It's Obamacare is what most people know it by. Trump got in office. One of the promises was to erase this. The Congress went back and forth. It was like, Keystone Cops or what have you. One of the things that did happen was Trump got rid of the mandate. So basically, he took away the teeth of Obamacare but didn't get rid of Obamacare. What is the state now? What do you see? Is Obamacare alive and well? Is it on its last legs? Is it dying? Is it transitioning to something else? What do you see?
I think that it's not ever really going to die because the way they set it up, it's like an octopus. It's wrapped around everything. But the fact that you have a choice now, that you don't have to pay a tax just to, you know, pay for the privilege of having an insurance card, but the option so that you have a social.
We're cutting out. Todd, is she cutting it? Okay, we lost her there a second.
Money. They now?
Oh, there she is. Whoa. We lost you for a second. Oh. They're about, I don't know, 15 okay. seconds or so. We lost you. We got about 2 minutes before the break. So take the 2 minutes and go ahead.
Sure. Well, the bottom line is people now have choice. So they don't have to be stuck in the Affordable Care Act system. They can join an association. They can join a sharing organization. Christian sharing ministries, there's non-denominational sharing, medical cost sharing. There's direct primary care. The catastrophic plans are now back online, which you can just buy plans that are really cheap for emergencies. So they've actually opened up choice. I think that is going to be the answer to the Affordable Care Act. I don't think it's ever going to go. It's too entrenched in our system, and it's like it's wrapped around everything. But if you choose to opt out of it, there's so many choices that are so much cheaper where you can actually get better care and not break the bank.
Mm. This is a huge issue. This isn't just a healthcare issue, which is huge enough. That's big enough on its own. But this is, like you said, it's like an octopus. We got about a minute before the break. Obviously, we'll talk more in depth on the other side about other options. I love it. What'd you say? I wrote this down. Direct primary care. I like that. That sounds positive for me. That sounds way better what we're seeing now. So we got about 30 seconds. You probably don't know the answer to this, but why did Congress not just repeal Obamacare and go back to the way it was?
Follow the money and follow the mindset. And the mindset. These people who want single payer are zealots about it. They want our system to be changed from top
why?
To bottom.
Why are they so adamant about it? Why?
Because they hate, let's say it a different way. They don't want the United States to be a democracy. They want it to be socialist. And how do you get people? You have to make them dependent on the government, whether that's to eat, to stay healthy, to have a job, to be educated. That's their goal. If you get a healthcare system, you've got everything.
Wow. You don't hear many physicians talking like this, ladies and gentlemen. Elena George is sharp. She's sharp as a tack, let me tell you. Anyway, we'll be back here after a short break. DrElenaGeorge.com is her website, ELAINA, and Big Medicine is her book. Certainly worth your attention. Stay tuned.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Welcome back to the Power Hour at thepowermall.com. We got some great specials over there. Of course, Wayne Blakely, Living Streams Probiotics. Very important to start. Health starts in your gut. And how else are you going to deal with it? That's what you need. A lot of these things that you hear, if you don't get the products from us, if you don't do it from here, how are you going to do it? How will you do it? I think that's important. Strauss Heart Drops. We got this week only. This week only. The end of this week, we're not carrying over. 20% off and also on Iron Earth. And you can sign up for auto ship on that and also REM Sleep. Cold Storm, Smooth Oregano, two new products from Strauss are also available at introductory price. The Detox Clay Powder from Perrier, the Bentonite Clay is on sale, and North American Urban Spice, all on sale at the Power Mall. 877-817-9829, 877-817-9829. Okay, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, got a sneezing fit there for a second. Dr. George, There's several people who come on who are very prominent. They're very hesitant to talk about vaccines because I should have asked you this during the break. I don't know where you stand or what your feelings are talking about it. But my greater question is why they're scared because the pressure they may get, the attention, the ridicule they may get. Why is that? Do you feel that? Why is that? And where do your friends that you talk to on this mandatory vaccine push we're seeing in California and other states? I don't know. I don't know. What do doctors think about this?
You know, I can only speak for myself personally. I think that this should be a choice and nobody should be mandated to take a vaccine personally. And some of these vaccines have not been thoroughly tested, and I have a problem with that. So, you know, fortunately, I'm not a pediatrician, and I don't have to do this part of my patient care. And I would have a big problem, unfortunately, if I had to, because I just think it should be a basic individual. And people should be able to have all the information to make their own choice. their own decisions. Nobody telling them what to do.
Let me ask you about China. You never thought somebody's going to ask you about China, did you? on this interview. But in China right now, and you'll see how this relates in a second, the social credit system, I don't know if you've heard about it, but basically...
I have.
Okay, so a control grid where the government is monitoring what you do. If you came on radio and had an opinion about vaccines like you just did and you said people need choice, well, then your credit score goes down. So it becomes a control situation, decisions, modifying behavior. Okay. In medicine, we're starting to see the tentacles of this social credit system coming to doctors. You've already mentioned it, AI. Where do you see this going? How scared are you of AI in the medical community and controlling here in America?
I think it's already here. That's part of the algorithm system is and best practices it's not new. I just think that's where the power of the independent physician lies. It's in being able to individualize your care to your patient and actually think as a functional physician where it's the problem and not just medicating the symptoms. And that's what I mean by patients being in the driver's seat. If you don't go to these big box, big medicine type situations where it's too big to fail and you're just a number, then you don't end up getting treated like that. Someone spend an hour and a half with you to learn everything about you, what makes you tick, your family members, what makes you, you know, the choices you make, so you can change them or figure out what's working and what's not. That's the doctor that people should want to go to. And I can tell you it'd be a lot cheaper. You'd be a lot happier. There'd certainly be a lot better doctor-patient relationship. And there's no reason why people don't do this, except that they don't think, maybe they don't think we exist, but we do. And I think the pendulum is actually swinging back. 60% of doctors are now employed by something, a hospital or some other huge employer. That number is dropping, and the speed at which that was happening is also slowing, because it's not greener on the other side. People are miserable. No one wants to see 50 patients a day, spend a second with them, and spend most of it typing on a computer, getting home at 9 and 10 o'clock at night just to finish notes, and you still are not happy, and your patient's not better. This is the reality. I think we've tried this approach, and I think those of us who practice both, those of us who care, and I think those of us who are any kind of asleep, they're waking up to, hey, I don't have to do this anymore. And we're having or beginning to have a two-tier system, Daniel, where patients who like to get medicated and don't want to think about having skin in the game and doing their own due diligence and doing their research, they're getting a different standard of medicine than someone who's willing to partner with their doctor. Patients need to start doing that. I cannot emphasize that enough. You're going to be healthier, you're going to be happier, and your sure as heck will be richer than in this system that we're currently in.
Let's go further with this idea of direct primary care. Where is there networks people can call on? Can people, you know, I'm with you. I want to do what you're saying, but where do I even begin?
Mm-hmm. You can start off with the American Association, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, aapsonline.org. You can go to the Association of Independent Doctors. There are, every single state now has direct primary care physicians in them.
And hey, hold on one second. Elena, do you have a landline that we can, your cell phone all of a sudden is just very difficult to hear. I don't know if you need to stick a toe out the window or what. I don't know, but it's you're cutting in and out.
I can call you on a different line. Can you hear me now?
No, it comes and goes. I mean, like most cell phones, just not reliable. Do you have the studio's phone number?
Yeah.
See, now I can't hear you at all. Oh, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This is very important. So you can hear me, Elena? Okay, you call me right back.
I can hear you quickly.
Okay, call the studio back. Okay, very good. Todd, try to deal with, you know, see what you can do that or call her. Oh, she is? Oh, I didn't know that. She's out of the country right now, ladies and gentlemen. I did not know that. Okay, so we'll deal with it. We'll have her back. I think this is the, I don't know if anybody's listening has a question for Elena. They, you can call in 844-769-769. Excuse me, I got all these numbers in my head. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. If you got a quick question for Elena, we'll get that set up while we get her in.
Okay, is it better?
Oh my gosh, it's like night and day.
Okay.
Very good. Okay, so let's start over. If I want to, I believe what you say, I want to transition to kind of this independent partnership, kind of direct primary care. What do I do?
You contact the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons at online.org. You can contact the Association of Independent Doctors, AID.org. And they have a list of doctors across the country who are direct primary care focused, direct pay practices. This is where you make a direct contract with you and the physician instead of having a middleman, because it's the middleman that's costing everybody more money. I have patients now who had needed surgery, needed to have care given, and they deny themselves care because of their out-of-pocket deductible. Maybe $1,000 a month, they had to come up with another $3,000 to $4,000 out-of-pocket before the insurance kicked in the first dime. That's not health care. If you have a direct primary care practicing and $60 per month to
be oh, my gosh, this is getting bad, too.
You can negotiation for that one fee, you know, without having to pull it out of your pocket. And you can go and get blood work done. You can prescribe.
Yeah, Todd, can we maybe call her back on the other line was better. We only got about 10 minutes, Elena. That's cut. I don't know. It starts out fine and then it goes worse. I don't know if you put it up to your head. I don't know. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. Let Todd call you back on the other line, Elena, and see what happens here. I don't know. Todd, see what you can do. I'll talk to the audience just for a little bit. Really love Elena and her information. This is important, or I wouldn't be, you know, most people I would cut off by now, but Elena is very important that we get this. And I think many people listening really want to know how they can get a hold of this information. I'm very concerned with, I'm hopeful too, that I see people. Even my mother-in-law, I always use my in-laws because they're like a litmus test. They're like a canary in the coal mine. My mother-in-law has been very much, well, I've been reading about statins are no good. I've been reading about ibuprofen. You know, she's even starting to question some of these medical decisions that are so prevalent that five years ago, people were taking them for granted. I don't think they're taking them for granted anymore. I mean, a certain percentage. Elena, do we have you, Elena? Okay, just quickly go over how can people give the websites of how people or phone number how people can learn about these different doctors.
Well, you can actually go to my website, drelenageorge.com, because I have links to the American Association and the Association doctors, and there are doctors like myself who have direct primary practices, direct specialty practices. And you can also think of something like thinking going outside of the country, and they have physicians beyond border. I have the CEO of company on, and it's all of the things that people can do.
Elena, it's just getting too bad. I mean, it's getting the reception's really bad. Dr. Elena George, DrElaina, Dr. Elena George, like the man's name, George, drelanageorge.com. You can find out one about her, but we're going to talk about her book, Big Medicine. And Big Medicine is talking about all these things in detail, how you can see the takeover of corporations and how they're making decisions for you, Big Medicine, what that means and how to get around it. This is a very important issue. You can go to her website, Dr. Elena George. Dr. George, is there a phone number people can call to find out more or get a hold of you or what have you?
No, they can email me through that. That's probably the best way for me.
Okay. Dr. George, you are just cutting out super bad. I love you to death, but we just, I can't hear you. It's every other word. So
sorry.
We'll have you on. I understand. I know you're out of the country. Really appreciate you making time for us. So we'll talk to you again soon, and we'll get you on sooner than later. It's been way too long, and we'll keep up with you. And I know you got some new things on the horizon, so we'll keep up with all that too. So God bless you.
I look forward to it. God bless you too. Sorry about that.
Oh, I understand. It happens. Don't worry about it. God bless you, Dr. George. We'll talk to you soon. There she goes. So if you have questions, I know if you're, you may not have internet, and maybe you can call. Maybe I can go to her website. Maybe there's a phone number or email that we can get. And so if you call 877-817-9829, maybe we can give that to you if you don't have internet access. But if you do, or you got, you know, your neighbor or relatives, go to Dr. Elaina George, D-R-E-L-A-I-N-A George, G-E-O-R-G-E, DrElainaGeorge.com. And you can see some of this information and how to really take charge of your own medical history. Because whether you realize it or not, ladies and gentlemen, your medical destiny better be in your hands. Because the white-coated sepulchers, so to speak, you know, using the biblical allusion, they have let us down. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but America is the only developed country in the world the last 2-3 years where life expectancy has gone down. Where the rest of the world developed, it's gone up. Now, you know, you can, there's a million different factors that go into that, but America's healthcare, like Dr. Rogers says, we're 43rd. We were 39th, I believe, or 37th. Now we're 43rd in the world for healthcare, health in general. So what does that say? You know, we spend the most money by far. It's not even close. And our healthcare is just not up to par. I don't know what else to say. I mean, that tells you more than anything. So if you do want to call in, have a comment or what have you, and I know we lost Chuck. Chuck, if you want to call back in, 844-769-2944, 844-769-2944. We'll go from there, or anybody else has any comments. There's a couple news stories I wasn't able to get to. We can go over those for the last 10 minutes or so. And I really apologize. We couldn't get Dr. George a little clearer. But, you know, out of the country, cell phones are one thing. Out of the country, cell phones, that's another thing entirely. Let's go to, I mentioned the story earlier in the news about diagnostic tests for prebiotic condition. It's feasible. This is from Down to Earth. Scientists from Pune-based National Chemical Laboratory, NCL, have found that in pre-diabetes condition, blood has abundance of glucose bound to units of protein serum albumin. This biological state can be used as a biomarker for diagnosing pre-diabetic condition. My question is, okay, so say you do mark that, then what do? Do you just put them on metformin? Is that your solution? Because I don't think that's a very good solution. Diabetes is a major health problem in India, of all places. I didn't know that. An estimated 72 million Indians suffer from diabetes, and this number is projected to go up in the future. Why? Because McDonald's moved in or what? I don't know. In such a situation, diagnosis of pre-diabetes can help in controlling the burden of disease through suitable lifestyle modifications. I hope that's how they treat it. You know, lose a little weight, get some exercise, blah, blah, blah. That will help you. Now, I mentioned this story also. Let's go into more detail. He was jailed for nearly 3 months after airport officials, there's that word, officials, what are they official of, claimed he was traveling with liquid meth. But it was honey. Days after Christmas, Leon Hofton flew back to the U.S. from his birthplace in Jamaica with 3 jars of honey. He had no idea that it would cost him his freedom for nearly 3 months. The Maryland resident spent 82 days in jail. 82 days in jail after he was arrested December of last year and accused of bringing a controlled substance into the country. Customs and Border Protection officers who searched his bag upon his arrival said the honey he was carrying tested positive for drugs. Okay. They said I was charged with methamphetamine. So I said, Hofton said, this is Hofton. What is a methamphetamine? What is meth? Good question. Apparently it's honey at the airport now. Charging documents say the 46-year-old man told officers he had purchased the honey on the side of the road in Jamaica. Be careful what you buy on the side of the road in Jamaica, I suppose. Each of the 3 bottles tested positive for methamphetamine in a field test. What is a field test? What is that different from a lab test? According to a probable cause statement, Hofton was taken to a county jail to face multiple charges. in a field test? How accurate can that? So they're going to ruin your life because of some field test? How accurate can that be? Because the dog went crazy? Maybe they didn't like the guy. Maybe he had dreadlocks or something, and they were suspicious. See, that's everything that's going on with the police. It just makes America suspicious. It's just like everything. Authority figures, quote unquote, whatever that means in America, they're just not trusted anymore. And frankly, why should they be? Why should we? We can't even trust the doctor to give us good care. Deland George is telling you, a very prominent, awarded physician is telling you, hey, you need to be proactive and search out there for a doctor that will actually be your advocate. I mean, what does that say? So doctors who are supposed to have they're supposed to be officials about your health. Police are making up stories about them being shot. They make up stories all the time. And if there's cameras involved, then we only find out they're lying. They're just not to be trusted out of hand. They've proven that. So what? The thing that bothers me about this, 82 days in jail. Why did they not retest it? It took them 82 days to retest it, find out it was just honey? Are you kidding me? Italy, Stromboli volcano erupts. It makes you think of Mount Vesuvius, doesn't it? Wasn't that near Italy? Or was that Pompeii? I think it was Pompeii. In huge explosions spewing lava and ash, a volcano off the south of Italy erupted with a loud roar in front of gobsmacked tourists. I bet. How would you like to be in Italy and look out in the ocean and see a volcano go off, spilling a river of lava into the sea and sending huge plumes of hot ash into the sky? It erupted today, local time, not that many hours ago. They monitored, according to Italian officials, monitoring the site. Wow. Ultra-rich, illegally buying cheetahs as pets. It's leading to extinction in the wild. A lot of people, they want a cheetah as a pet. So about 300 a year, they estimate, are smuggled out of Somalia, which there's only about 300 in the wild in Somalia. So the population can never go up because they're stealing all the babies. Chinese military runs intimidating simulation drills in Shenzhen across from Hong Kong. I'm telling you, those people in Hong Kong, they would be very benefited to stopping an invasion if they can blow up that bridge. Hong Kong is an island, and there's a huge bridge that goes from mainland China into Hong Kong. They want to stop an invasion. They might want to blow up that bridge, at least help them. I don't know if that's too dramatic. I wonder if they've considered, I'm sure they've considered that. They don't even have guns, so I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know what China's going to do here. This is a huge story. The beginning of the week, we talked quite a bit about Hong Kong, the history of it. Very interesting. This is obviously an extremely interesting story that the whole world is watching. Edible flowers could help boost vitamin E intake. Edible flowers are surprising as a source of healthy fatty acids, carotenoids, and more, according to new research. Edible flowers. Is that like when you're little and you eat dandelions or something? Or make dandelion tea? In this age of Instagram and social media, food photographer, pretty edible flowers can often be seen brightening up photos of salad, soups, etc. But Portuguese researchers, they're not just pretty garnish. The scientists from the Polytechnic Institute there in Portugal and the University of Aveiro analyzed the phytochemical composition of borage and centaura, two popular edible flowers. Overall, they suggest daily consumption of these flowers may contribute to supplying some macronutrients, vitamins, and organic acids to the human diet. There you go. Edible flowers. Who knew? The surveillance system, if it's not a big concern to you, it probably should be. Not probably. It should be. Is what in the world are they doing? Why is this mirroring? Why is Google and Facebook mirroring Chinese social credit score? Why are they seemingly defending China on some of the decisions they make? Now, you know those doorbell cameras where somebody goes and rings your doorbell, a camera looks at them, and then, you know, you can see who it is before they answer. Or if you're not even home, you can even talk to them, say hello, you know, get out of here or whatever. The doorbell camera company Ring has quietly forged video sharing partnerships. Partnerships, isn't that such a pleasant sounding word? with more than 400 police forces across the United States, partnerships, granting them access to homeowners' camera footage and a powerful role in what the company calls America's new neighborhood watch. How do you feel about that, ladies and gentlemen? It lets police automatically request the video recorded by homeowners' cameras within a specific time and area, helping officers see footage. I do not like that. I don't have one of these anyway. Ring is owned by, just take a guess what company owns Ring. Just of all the companies in the world. Not Apple, not Google. Great guesses. Amazon. That may have been your third guess. Amazon. They bought the firm last year for more than $800 million, financial filings show. Jeff Bezos also owns the Washington Post. Yes, we know that. And is trying to take over Main Street America. We know that. Amazon. Buy from the good guys, ladies and gentlemen. Families in fear over 5G towers in neighborhood. They are, quote, living in a microwave. We saw this with YouTube. One family was on the internet taking real-time video showing the 5G about the health problems, what they're experiencing. So what did YouTube do for their trouble? Kick them off and censor them. Well, some news in Sacramento is still carrying over this. In 2017, I don't know if you knew this, Sacramento, California, became one of the first cities in the nation to launch 5G high-speed internet service. Now, some people say those radio signals, radio, isn't that nice how they say, oh, it's just radio signals, like FM 101.3. You know, your news and classic rock every day. You know, it's just a radio signal. Sure. Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg is trying to position the city as a demonstration hub for new technology. But nobody's bothered to test any of these things. And some people, I'm losing sleep. We're just concerned about our daughters, one of the neighbors there said. They have a pole on their, right outside their house, right outside their neighborhood. We had a few experts come out and told us we are living in a microwave. That can't be good. YouTube said it's more important than ever to be an open platform one day after a massive banning spree. Doesn't that make you feel warm and fuzzy? Ladies and gentlemen, the replay tomorrow. Daniel Esselin will be here on the end of the week. It's so good to be with you. Always, we believe in you. We thank you so much for your purchases, donations. Don't forget about the special towards the end of the week. At the end of this week, that Strauss 20% off. Please buy from the good guys, PowerMall.com. God bless you. Happy, healthy, successful, and free, just as God intends you.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to feel healthy again.
Hello, folks. Richard Ostro of Carnivora Research International here. Visit CARNIVORA.com or call 1-866-VENUS-FLY. That's carnivora.com or 1-866-VENUS-FLY. Call us today.